Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Jim Harbaugh is not one of the big cheaters in college sports. Okay, a couple of reasons. One, he's too disorganized to even try it. Two, he never gets any players.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
That is such an old man phrase. Guess what? I don't want no hair on my chest. Get out of here with the hair on the chest. Yeah, that is the 1970s. Yes, get out of here with the hair.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Cole Stetson gets to take this straight to the combine. Congratulations, fresh headline. Here, sit down for your interviews with these teams. You'll be like, what the hell were you doing at 6 a.m., Stet?
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Hi, welcome to the pod. Coming at you day after NFL Championship Sunday. We got all sorts of football from there to talk about with a little college twist. Harbaugh, we got a bunch. We got a lot today. Actually, not bad. And first, we have the really one of our all-time favorites, the law firm. That's it, Bennett, the fourth.
Yep.
Maybe not five-star talent, but he has five-star effort, Pat. And when you're getting arrested for being drunk at 6 a.m. in Dallas, you put in a five-star bender.
I'd say so.
Stetson Bennett. I mean, you know, it's one thing to get a public intox. It's another to get one at 6 a.m. Usually you pass out by that point, but not the man with this kind of heart. He's got a lot of dog in him. Never quit, Stetson.
Maybe a lot of mad dog in him. 2020.
Arrested in Dallas, banging on doors, allegedly, at 6 a.m. I thought when you win two titles, the women are banging on your door. I don't know. We don't know all the details of what happened yet. But the New York Post, WFAA down there, they had him perp walking out of the drunk tank. Didn't look too good.
Nope.
Bennett was walking inside a gated area, and the police determined he was intoxicated. I got to hear more details. But if you can make it to six being that drunk... at the scene, cops found Bennett walking inside a gated area and quickly determined that he was intoxicated. Pat, what happened? You got any sources on this?
No, there's been some school of thought. You know, he's been in Dallas prepping for the draft. Working
yeah,
out
that's going stuff. Well. Yeah.
Prepping. Yeah. Prepping
clearly
for the draft.
It's real. A good late
hey,
night.
You got to blow off steam after a long day of training
film
with some
study.
Booze.
Good night of film study that went late.
Yeah.
No, but that said some like spin or whatever that like, so he's staying in some place and he wasn't sure which, like he couldn't remember which place he was staying in. And so he was trying to get somebody to open a door for him.
We've all been there. We've all been
there. Yeah. Not at 6 a.m. really.
Maybe not 6 a.m. 2 a.m. Maybe not 6 a.m.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, maybe.
Yeah. So
it's a youthful mistake. I mean, the man, you know, he's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 years older than most
rough
aspiring NFL
quarterbacks. Have they not? My goodness.
Well, this is the lighthearted version of that. Yeah. Much more serious.
Much worse things.
This is just us laughing at Stetson Bennett getting lastly tanked. Down in Dallas. I mean, hadn't he taunted the TCU fans enough with that performance?
Yeah.
Now you got to drink their
booze. Looking for more TCU defensive backs to strafe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe TCU should recruit the Dallas police. They were the first people down in the Metroplex that could get a hand on them.
I wonder if some. I wonder if some Dallas police maybe. Attended TCU and saw old Stetson and said, hey, remember that whipping you gave us?
Oh, he was profiled?
Yeah, profiled. Look at there.
I don't know. Yeah.
Look at there.
I mean, look, 6 a.m., that's now you're getting people going out to work.
Yeah.
Now you're
Yeah, that's,
you get flagged for excessive celebration at 6 a.m. That's pushing it.
Does this improve or hurt his draft stock? You know,
it does not improve it.
I think he's like a fourth round is when the rap sheet crew gets generally picked. Does Stetson now fit into that? I didn't know if he could be a fourth rounder, but now you look and go, all right, he's got all pro heart at the bar. We know what he can do on the field. Do we take a shot at this guy?
No, it doesn't help. No.
No.
It certainly doesn't help. Yeah.
No. That I you know, mentioned this, that it was not a good development for his NFL draft resume, and a lot of people are like, well, it didn't hurt Baker Mayfield. There's a couple key differences there. Baker Mayfield was a first-round talent. He was not somebody who's like fifth, sixth, hey, I hope I get picked kind of guy. And Baker, when he had his public intox charge and was infamously like blasted to the ground by police for trying to run away, that was 13 months before he got drafted. He had time to rinse that out of the system, so to speak, and put up 4,000 more yards of passing and 50 touchdowns before it was time for him to get picked. Old Stetson gets to take this straight to the combine. Congratulations. Fresh headline. Here, sit down for your interviews with these teams. They're going to be like, what the hell were you doing at 6 a.m., Steph?
Is he going to the Senior Bowl, Pat?
No, I believe he turned down a Senior Bowl invite.
All right, all right.
I believe both he and Will Levis turned it down.
Maybe not a good idea. Or maybe it turned out to be. He had some drinking to do. He's busy.
Maybe the Senior Bowl.
If you remember, Stetson didn't make the day after press conference for the Georgia championship. Yeah. Like, too the next pappy. Day, they bring
too much pappy, and he was hammered on Good Morning America or something the year before.
Correct.
Look, maybe there's a pattern, or maybe I'm just a bigger fan than ever. I'm certainly have no problem with any of this. I will not be the hypocrite. Go get him, Stetson.
If drinking till 5 a.m. is the worst thing he does, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not.
Cast the
not
first that big stone.
And he wasn't. He wasn't behind the wheel of a car. You know, he was just on the streets, knocking on people's doors.
Just randomly walking around Dallas, looking for somewhere, something. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Probably he doesn't know at that time.
He might not have.
Anyway, good effort.
I saw a meme on social media of. I guess somebody had created a meme of Stetson, like, you know, mic drop, like dropping a mic, raising his hand up high, and you see the mic dropping, he's releasing it. Well, they instead of the mic, they inserted a bottle of Bud Light, dropping a Bud Light. That was good.
I think Stetson drinks, I think he's, which of the three of us, who does he drink most like? So if we're just going to stereotype it, because I like whiskey too, but you know, Ross is going to drink a bourbon, and I'm going to drink cheap beer, and Pat's going to drink like some fruity thing. I don't even know.
Fruity?
I think Stetson's with me.
I'm going to drink beer that puts hair on your chest.
Hair. That is such an old man phrase. Guess what? I don't want no hair on my chest. Get out of here with the hair on the chest. Yeah, that is the 1970s.
You a manscaper? You a groomer there? I mean,
get out of here with the hair.
Oh, my gosh. Great. Man, you buy all the grooming products that they foisted on
now. All right, we're ending this discussion now before everyone turns off. Forget the – I rescind the question. Hey, can you believe Jalen Hurts is in the Super Bowl? Jalen Hurts with the possible redemption of all redemptions. Last time
he's a trans bourbon, by the way. That's my opinion. He's a Ross Dellinger bourbon drinker.
That's my thought.
Man, if he could hammer bourbon till 6 a.m., I am 100% drafting him. This man is a superhero.
I mean, he may have been mixing and matching. I'm not sure you can go bourbon straight till 6.
But. Probably whenever. That's my thing. If he went bourbon straight till 6 a.m., then Stetson Bennett is QB1.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. All right, Jalen Hurts, not drunk this weekend, as far as we know.
Yeah.
When he gets pulled from the Alabama championship game for Tua Tagovailoa, transfers to Oklahoma, has a good year, but did you ever see this coming? Pat, you covered Jalen a bunch.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. No, I did not. Now, I will say, when he got to Oklahoma and you saw him in that offense, you're like, whoa, that looks like a whole different guy. Lincoln Riley was a great fit for him, and they flourished together. But no, when he was, you know, I thought that he was a good quarterback at Alabama who was replaced by a much better quarterback in Tua. And I will never forget, I mean, Jalen Hurts handled that unbelievably well. I walked out to the bus with him after that game when he got benched, and he was completely magnanimous. He was happy they won the national championship. You know, it was obvious he was going to leave and go somewhere else, but like class act in a difficult situation. So I was a big fan of him from a character standpoint, but I didn't know he could be this kind of quarterback. At Oklahoma, you saw some of it, but still, I wasn't sure it was going to translate to the NFL. And man, has he been great. I mean, maybe not the NFL MVP this year. So good for him. Just he's found a great spot for him there. They have a really, really good team. They got backs. They got receivers now, which Philadelphia had never had. They got a great defense, and he's earned his spot. It's great.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody – well, there's probably somebody out there, maybe Jalen Hurts and his family, that thought he was going to be a really successful NFL quarterback. I just think there was certainly were a lot of doubters, and you know, Jalen got a lot better. You know, the Alabama Jalen Hurts improved significantly through the years, first at Oklahoma and then on to the NFL. I thought Rich Eisen had a good tweet thread after the game. I'll go through it really quickly, but it was like, you know, each tweet takes you through a step in his journey, you know, starting with demoted in front of national TV audience on a national championship stage, but stays the next year as a backup, you know, and then it moves to the Oklahoma days, finally leaves for a new spot, makes his mark, and gets his way to the Heisman Trophy podium. He then gets drafted in the second round to a team still seemingly attached to its second overall pick, only to finally get his shot. He balls out only to mystifyingly get benched in front of a national TV audience again. And then first full season as a starter, takes his team to the playoff, gets one and done'd by Tom Brady, vows to come back better, and then, of course, does and is going to the Super Bowl.
There's amazing stuff about Jalen, right? Like, the way he handled that, you know, I wasn't playing well enough, and this is great that Tua came in and we won the, you know, such a team-first thing. And then he stayed.
Yeah.
And I get it, because it's really hard. Like, you go into the championship game that night against Georgia, and you're thinking, I'm going to win the national championship. I'm going to be a hero here. And by the end of the game, you're like, should I transfer?
Yeah.
Like in 3 years. So he stays, but he loses the job. He played in almost every game, played 13 games in 2018, but just 70 pass attempts. It's pretty kind of just humbling, right? Just mop-up duty. Obviously comes in during the SEC championship game to replace Tua, gets hurt. So it was like the reverse thing, but still.
Yeah,
graduates.
Full circle. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
full circle.
The full circle bit. But just what a quality guy. I don't know that I would have that patience. And then he graduates early and then goes to Oklahoma. But yeah, the same thing. And then, you know, Philadelphia is still screwing around with Carson Wentz. And, you know, finally they make the move to him. But, you know, he's a second round pick. He was more of a runner at the beginning. You know, this is just his third year in the league. And boom, they're really good. Now, look, he didn't play fantastic. He wasn't the reason they won yesterday, but he's got a real chance to win a Super Bowl. And that's just an amazing journey for him. So good for him. And the Alabama and Oklahoma fans now fighting over who gets to claim him.
It is really funny. I did something like listing the, you know, the alma maters of all the all pro selections, and Jalen Hurts was the second team all pro. And I credited him with Oklahoma, as does his NFL bio and everything else in Alabama. And no, wait a minute. He's ours. No. Sorry.
Yeah, it's where you leave, right? It's where you finish. Yeah. I think it's where you finish,
where you were a Heisman finalist.
Transfer portal and the COVID year, these guys are going to have like six schools.
Right. I was about to say, we're going to have a lot more of this in years to come, where we're going to have a problem trying to figure out what school to credit with the production of a player at the NFL level. And I think it probably is either it's where you finish, or it's, I guess, where you starred best, where you played best, where you I don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting question, but that we've never really had to figure out in college sports, but we're about to.
Well, it's a fight like that. NBC intros are now going to take like 30 minutes. So these guys, you know, they say,
yeah, naming right? off
Jim
their
Smith, Clemson. Yeah. Now they're going to just like slash. Yeah. It's going to take forever.
Clemson, before that, Florida State. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, I was at UAB for a year. And JUCO.
JUCO. Last chance you. I like when they, like, name, like, their, like, you know, youth football team, like, Eastside Eagles, you know, like, it's great. Wisconsin stole Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, they flat out, I mean, NC State should get, like, some kind of considerations in a future trade. Russell Wilson played 3 years at NC State, and all anyone knows about him, he's a Wisconsin quarterback. He played 1 year at Wisconsin.
That's where he set the NCAA single season pass efficiency record.
Yeah, he went from 58% completion rating to 72%, and everything went up. He had a hell of a year, 33 TDs and 4 interceptions. But still, Wolfpack had no love out there. You know, they had him, so it happens. It happens. Other guy that I can't say I spent a whole lot of time paying attention to in college, but I was really impressed. I was at the Kansas City game yesterday. Is Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco, 7th round pick from Rutgers. Yeah. This guy.
He's a beast.
He is an absolute beast. He was huge yesterday. The way he runs so fast, hard, like he is... It's just a straight just sprint wherever he goes. Just tremendous. And I don't recall. Do you guys remember him much in college? I know we're not watching a ton of Rutgers.
Not really.
Rutgers just has these dudes sometimes, and he is one of them.
Yeah. No, I mean, he absolutely helped, you know, Schiano get it off the ground there after he came in. You know, he was a good player. I did not foresee him being a damn star at the NFL level. He was only a 600-yard rusher his last year at Rutgers, 515 the year before that, 729 the year before. So he's like a part-time back who did fine when he played, but for some reason he was only a part-time back. I don't know why, because the dude can absolutely play.
Yeah, not bad. Chiefs are really good at drafting.
Oh, they're annoyingly good. I mean, it's unbelievable as a Bronco fan. I mean, I'm sitting there watching them like, you know, you get Chris Jones. How did you get Chris Jones? Frank Clark. How did you get Frank Clark? Nick Bolton, Willie Gay. These guys were all draft picks. George Karloftis in last year's draft. I mean, people were talking about George Karloftis as a top 15 guy. He falls to 30th. Chiefs get him. You know, he's getting sacks in the AFC Championship game. He had a great season. So it's unbelievable their ability to get these playmakers, especially on defense, at the end of these rounds with that other people have passed up. It just boggles my mind.
You know, it's a better idea is trade all your draft picks away to sign Russell Wilson to a huge deal. I think that's a better strategy, Pat.
Pushing Pat's buttons.
Thanks for that.
Might as well. 11 on a Monday.
Yeah.
He's a little chap that Kansas City's still winning.
I am. Joseph Asai, don't do it. Don't do it, man. Don't push him.
Poor Joseph Asai. I wrote about him. He wrote a great column. Yeah. He had to have a little sympathy for the poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those plays, you know, you see it live and I'm like immediately. Because, you know, I mean, deep down, I will say I was rooting for the Bengals and all the LSU guys I used to cover. And I had leaped off the couch and just, like, screamed, no, as he hit him, even before the flag came out, because I knew it was coming. My wife was on the couch, like, what are you doing? And then the flag came out, and I'm like, there it is. And because it was so obvious. It obviously is a by the book. It was a penalty. But you feel so bad. Like, it's one of those penalties. It's like, man, it just stinks. Like, it stinks for it to end that way. It stinks for the kid because you see it full speed and Mahomes is trying to get every inch he can for a close enough field goal. And, you know, Asai's trying to move him out of the way and not let him get another inch. And to do that, you got to go like full speed and it's hard to pull up. And, it's just hard. And it's kind of encapsulates like right now in college, not just the NFL, but college football as well, what's going on, where you have these huge, fast bodies flying around the field, and they're all at the same time, it's this incredibly physical game, but they're trying to protect the game and save it in a way, right? For years to come, by instituting, you know, some, I don't even know how to describe it, like penalties against physicality. And it's tough. And that's one of the plays. It's like, yes, that's a foul. But man, it's just like hard to see it in that way. It's hard.
Yeah, that look, it's really hard, especially right now, to be a defensive player in college football, in the NFL, probably in high school too, with the targeting penalties, with roughing the passer penalties. There's just, I think you have to think so much instead of just flying. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff flying, so there's still plenty of hard hitting. It's not like the game has become touch football, but there's just the ramifications for a targeting penalty and you get ejected. You know, they're huge. And so you see defensive players thinking a lot. I know the play the last week when George Kittle had that unbelievable tip ball catch. And the safety, or Diggs, the defensive back for the Cowboys, like kind of ducks and turns his head and misses him. That would have been a destruction shot 6 years ago or however long ago. The defensive back just runs straight through him, yeah, without even worrying about colliding, you know, with his head or neck area or a defenseless receiver. You just absolutely crush the guy. I'm glad they don't let you crush the guy anymore, but that's how much it's changed.
Yeah, Asai is 6'3", 263, and he is running as hard as he possibly can, which is probably, you know, I don't have his combine stuff, but like 4.6 speed. I mean, this is a freak of nature athlete.
Yeah.
But he's chasing a freak of nature athlete. And he said he wanted to get his arm and push him backwards to keep the clock running, and it would have ended the game. But, you know, the thing too about Mahomes is we've seen, you know, he's not Lamar Jackson in terms of like running and stuff, but Mahomes is like, he'll stop on a dime, even though he had a bad ankle. He wouldn't know yesterday, but, and all of a sudden, you know, boom, there's 10 more yards, right? Like you've got to get him through.
Yeah.
He just, I mean, but this was not a close play. I mean, he was way out of bounds. It's just, then he jams his knees. Oh, like I got to get an MRI on it. Gets injured. He's bawling on the sideline. He's crying in the locker room. I'm like, it just sucks because, you know, no matter what anyone says, that he'll probably never live the play down. And there'll be Bengal fans and people who lost money in the game or whatever that will forever heckle him about him or hate him for it. And it's just brutal. The guy's like, he's his second year. It's an incredible story. Him and his family immigrated to the U.S. from Nigeria. He was 10 years old. They moved to Conroe, Texas, north of Houston. He was bullied. He obviously had not hit his growth spurt, but he was bullied at the time because he had this terrible Nigerian accent when he spoke. So the kids kind of made fun of him. I'm sure that ended at someplace about 13.
Yeah.
Decided to try to, he's trying to become American, right? So he's working on his like Texas, like to get rid of the accent. Like that he'd spend all day trying to do that. And then he got into football because it was like the most American of sports. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to play at University of Texas, who's all American. They love him down there. Just seemed like a great guy. And you just sat there watching him last night. I'm standing in front of him. He's just like, God, this just sucks. You know, like, yeah, it was a bad play, but you know, there's like 30 guys on the planet that could even get over there to make the play.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and it's just like, you're never going to live it down. It's so rough to see, you know, again, like here's a guy, 1 minute is 10 seconds, 8 seconds for maybe, you know, forcing overtime, going to the Super Bowl. He's one more step. He makes the game saving play and instead he makes an error. And now like 15 minutes later, the whole world's like on top of him. And it's just like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't commit a crime. I didn't hurt anybody. Deliver. I was just trying to make a play, and yeah, just rough. It was a rough one.
Yep. He's the Bengals version of Raheem Moore for Bronco fans.
Yes, see,
failed to cover the bomb still from Joe Flacco.
Still bringing it up.
You bet I am. From 2013 or 14 or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, that's right. No, I mean, there's one of these. It's one of these every year. Mm-hmm. The whiff six, the kickers, the whatever. So
tough one
for Joseph. But I got to say, stand up guy. And his buddy BJ Hill from North Carolina State was the menacing press agent during this interview. I don't know if anyone saw the video. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, although as one of the people that BJ was staring down to make sure I didn't ask an inappropriate question, it was not that fun at the time.
I hope you worded your questions well, Dan.
I was very careful. I asked the first question. I made sure it was a softball beyond softballs.
What was it?
PR agents don't normally intimidate me, but they're not normally 6'3", 311 pounds. And in a volatile mood after losing the AFC champion, BJ Hill's literally standing there and he's like, I'm not putting up with any dumb questions. I'm going to shut down this press conference. It wasn't a press conference. It's like six of us standing in front of he's going to talk to Joseph Asai. And BJ Hill stands next to him and just glares at us. don't screw with my man here. And I'm like, I was like, well, your teammates are extremely supportive of you. How does that help with this? See, it was like something
there
like
you
that.
Go that's a good starter. Soft that's a good ball. Starter no that's look.
You, I admit it this. I was intimidated.
Yes, no, look, what assess are you gonna do? The situation.
I mean, you screwed the whole thing up. I'm not getting my head knocked off.
Assess the situation, anyway. React accordingly. Start with a softball and go from there.
You always have to. The poor guy. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Like, yeah, you would never ask that question. I'm only kidding. But you chose your words carefully. It's like when you ever ask Bill Belichick a question or Bobby Knight. Ask Bob Knight a question. You better make sure you got your wording exactly right, or he's gonna go flip out.
Absolutely.
He tried to kick Pat's ass once.
Oh yeah, he did.
Yeah, at a press conference. I was there.
Yeah, right about this time 23 years ago after they beat Iowa. I won't bore you with the details, but yes, he was coming at me in the press room in Assembly Hall, and Pat Knight, his son, grabbed him and stopped him. And as Pat Knight and others were pushing Bobby out of the door, he screamed over his shoulder, "Some of you need to find a better way to live." So I became a podcaster.
Yeah, there you go. You listen.
First off, Coach Knight, not inaccurate with that advice. Second off, I have not forgiven Pat Knight for not letting Bob Knight kick Pat's ass. Anyway, you talk to Bob Knight, you better come good with your question.
Yeah, no, that's one of the big parts of the job. If you're dealing with volatile personalities or volatile situations, word your questions.
No.
Carefully.
And don't be a jerk for the poor guy. Like, it's not really, you're never going to be mean to Joseph Tsai. You just feel bad for the guy. And you credit him. He stands up and takes the questions. Like, he didn't have a problem. Right. He could have hid, and he's like, I'm going to take a shower. Sure. I'll be back. He's trying to gather himself.
Room, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was good. So, all right. Another NFL angle on things. Hey, Jim Harbaugh interviewed again with the Broncos.
How about that?
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh has had more conversations with the Bronco management than his own athletic director, I think. Hey, what? That's what I heard. I don't know. That's all I read. I read that. I don't know. Are we going to get another tweet declaring his situational allegiance to Michigan? I mean, like, Dabo Swinney would pull the scholarship offer at this point.
Yeah.
He's taking unofficial visits. How do you... I don't know. What's up with Harbaugh? Ross, what do you know? Anything? Pat? Can anyone explain this? Is he going to? Is he leaving? Is he staying? Is he just like talking to these guys?
Well, I mean, the reports were that if he's offered an NFL job, he'll take it. So I guess we'll see. I thought the NFL flirtation was over after last week's Twitter statement, weird stuff. From Michigan, I thought it was over, but and I missed this past weekend Totally missed that he interviewed with Denver. So apparently it's not over. I don't know where. I had no idea about that search. And what the latest is, Pat probably knows more. But does he have a shot to get an offer?
Well, Adam Schefter reported that they had another discussion, but it's not going forward. Mm-hmm. That he's not going to be the coach there. But why did he have the second conversation? That's the question. Mm-hmm. You know, that they had their one interview, and I think that was Zoom or whatever, and then everybody came out and said, "Oh, Jim's staying, Jim's our coach at Michigan." And then the Bronco management flew to Michigan and met with him face to face. So what is that about? And the spin on that was ridiculous, of like, well, they were just finishing their due diligence. You know, they said that they were going to have these conversations, so they had them. No. You don't waste your time flying there if there's absolutely no reason to do so. So that ain't it. But regardless, it looks like he's not going to be the Bronco coach. But why was he this interested in being the Bronco coach after he said he was going to be the Michigan coach?
Kind of said he would, right?
All his national signing week again.
Yeah,
there's national signing again. Week. Everyone signed.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't. Well, he clearly. if I mean, I don't know how else you can say. I don't know. I don't. No idea what Jim Harbaugh's thinking, and maybe no one knows what Jim Harbaugh's thinking. But if you keep interviewing for a job, you probably want the job, especially when you're in an industry where you know it's going to leak out.
Right.
And leaking out will cause all sorts of speculation and potentially actually hurt your ability to recruit. Now, maybe he doesn't care and is like, don't worry, I'll get players anyway. He's always recruited in somewhat of an untraditional fashion. But like every other coach shoots this stuff down as fast as they possibly can if they're not actually interested. So I don't know. Clearly, this is not over.
No. Is there any chance that, again, the lingering NCAA situation has him looking for all potential options? Because there's a stalemate there between NCAA enforcement and Michigan about what he's going to cop to. And if he loses on that, he could get suspended for up to half a season.
Yeah,
but that would take the full process. So to recap, Harbaugh has admitted, reportedly, to the four level two violations: meeting with some recruits during COVID, dead, and some Zoom and some texts and whatever. Michigan fans have seized it as that these are nothing violations. They are not nothing violations to the NCAA. The opinion of average fan going, who gives a crap? I don't dispute that opinion, but that's not the NCAA.
It was dead ticket. Period, right? Wasn't it?
It was a dead period. Yeah, that's it's a level the thing. Two. It's it, not a level
that's
three.
The thing. It's a yeah, level it's two. A, no. It's a pandemic. It was a pandemic. Like the NCAA they made it very rule. Clear. Yeah, I mean, Pat reported don't that a few this. Months ago. The NCAA made it very clear. Like they are taking any rules breaking when it comes to the pandemic, you know, COVID, whatever it was, 13-month dead period, very, very seriously. As they kind of should. It was a pandemic, and you weren't supposed to be interacting with high school kids and their families. So, you know, I get
it wasn't a gray area. It was like don't meet with recruits. Yeah, not a gray area.
Right. And I get like the NCAA is lost a lot of credibility and doesn't have a lot of teeth. And we can talk a little bit about the enforcement issue, which I have a story dropping later at some point on Monday. But like, of all the silly rules they have, this one's not silly. Don't meet and recruit and meet with players during a worldwide pandemic. It was pretty clear.
Yeah, this was the rule. He violated the rule. It's a level two violation. It's not. It's not level one, and you gained. You know, you bought all your recruits, or your kids are all on performance enhancing drugs, or you fixed all their grades, they stayed eligible or whatever. Okay. But it's not nothing. It's just something in the middle. And my opinion, whatever the opinion is of it, doesn't really matter. It's the NCAA's opinion. Michigan is a member of the NCAA voluntarily. I don't make the rules. Michigan makes the rules. Like, you can't be like, well, we're just poor little Michigan. We don't have any say over anything. Like, what? Like, you've been this powerhouse athletic department for 100 years. You help write these rules. And you've given credibility to the rules. You have cast aspersions on everyone else who's ever broken the rules. So this is the rule. It's, I don't know. But this is still out there. But now he has admitted to all of those, so he should get some punishment. But he would not be, they would not, you know, they're not putting you in prison for this. These are misdemeanors. You're going to get some recruiting sanctions, you know, less visits, stuff like that. But they say he lied about it originally, and he has to admit that he lied. They're trying to go through a mediation session where both, but in order to get a plea deal, you have to plead guilty. And he's not pleading guilty to the lying part. So here's the impasse. Now, the NCAA wants to try to prove he lied. Very, very hard to do. But that will take like a year or so. So maybe Harbaugh is just like, you know, F it, I'll coach next year and then I'll do this whole NFL thing. Right. They're not going to get me next year. And even if they, like, it's just not going to happen. They're so slow. And, like, what, are they going to suspend you for 6 games, like, in late November and, like, wipe out a national? I mean, that, now we're getting, you know, this is a process crime. I don't think they should even go this hard on it, but whatever. Again, you can get a speeding ticket for going 31 in a 30. You can. So, this is how the rules work. If someone wants to get all hardcore. So he's not out of the woods. I think there's a lot of people that look at it and go, this is stupid. The NCAA sucks. NCAA's got no credibility. How the hell could you not punish all these basketball coaches? And all, I agree. But that doesn't mean anything. Because none of the people saying that are the NCAA. I haven't heard the NCAA's enforcement people going, you know what, our rules are stupid. We shouldn't even... Right.
No.
So, yeah, well, he's still an NCAA heat.
Yeah. And again, like, okay, as Ross pointed out, you know, there are a lot of people, Michigan fans, who want to turn this into, he bought a hamburger. We're going to make this into a, and it's no, he bought a hamburger during a dead period when you weren't supposed to meet with recruits.
And then presumably lied about it.
And then presumably, allegedly, supposedly lied about it. And if they nail him for lying, then you're in the Bruce Pearl territory, and then you get hammered. And so,
and that's, yeah. Now, like, did he lie? Did he not? I don't know. And yeah, it's like you're lying about a small thing, and it became a big thing. And it's just, this whole thing's just like a circle of like madness. Like, I don't know.
Well, and the maddest part of it of all would be that if it takes a year to resolve.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If it chases one of the game's biggest names and best coaches out. Because it's just like, this is stupid. Prove you didn't lie, Jim Harbaugh. I don't want to. Like, I mean, honestly, it's Jim Harbaugh. You just sit there and go, you know what? F it. I'll go coach the Broncos.
Yeah. Also, if it takes another year, it would be typical of NCAA, right? Because that would be probably, what, more than 3 years after the
pandemic,
the event happened. Yeah. I mean, good Lord, man, it's a snail's pace. It is just, yeah, it's frustrating for administrators and everybody else.
Yeah. I don't know the genesis of like how they found out about this and where things went, like how long did it take from getting this tip or whatever, and then acting on it and then coming up with a draft of a notice of allegations. Theoretically, even if Michigan fights this, God, they should be able to get something done before the season starts. If in a normal world, but the NCAA in a normal world,
what's Michigan's motivation to get something done?
Very little.
Michigan's trying to have a deal now, and someone's saying you have to admit you lie. So then it's like, well, if I'm Michigan, I'm like, yeah, we're dragging our feet forever on this.
Yeah, but that's good. Then also,
Michigan, I want Jim Harbaugh coaching a loaded team next year.
Right.
That could win a playoff game, could win a national championship.
Yeah. But then, all right, just keep in mind, though, when everybody says, oh, the NCAA sucks because they're so slow. Well, what if the other party involved here is the one that's so slow? Which was the case with, say, Will Wade and LSU. You go back and look at the case history with there, it's like, delay on getting documents. Delay on getting documents. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a weird. It continues to get weirder.
To Dan's point, right, Dan, you'd know more about like Michigan, but I mean, they got an argument to be the number one team in the preseason polls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They got a lot of a ton of starters back. They got the skill guys back. Corum will be back midseason. They've got a good transfer group. They're favored to win the Big Ten, I would think, over Ohio State. It'll still be a dogfight with that. Penn State's really good. I mean, they're top six or something, right? Can't have them outside the top six.
Yeah, I had them number two in my two early top 25. I think I had Georgia one and Michigan two, and I think Penn State three.
Yeah, I don't know if they're one, but they're in the preseason top five. Favored to win the third. I mean, if I'm Michigan, I am 100% like, we just want to keep the guy, but we've got this whole messy situation. And I guess I just see everyone's point on this. I don't know. I don't have like I totally get the whole idea. Like, wow, whatever. The pandemic was like 3 years ago. He met with some kids why are we care whether he told the truth or not about such a stupid thing? And it's like, what is this whole crap where you can't lie to the NCAA? They're not the FBI.
Well, still, in general, like, we'd prefer people tell the truth, right? I mean, as opposed to, yeah, we would.
And nobody's telling the truth out here in America. It's all a lie. Look at that guy, my favorite guy.
College sports, that New York guy, that's all everybody does is lie.
He's a U.S. rep. He lied about everything and got elected.
Oh, yeah, George Santos.
Yeah, he's like my favorite. Like, just lie about it all.
Why don't you write
like
an epic
volleyball
athlete.
Star? He said he's
write
like
an epic
like
athlete
5'10" or something. Like, what?
Do an epic athletes on the kid who faked his recruitment to whatever.
I'm going
to
do just, epic athletes on liars in sports. And they're all lying. Go. I don't know. I just, these are not real police officers. They're the NCAA guy. Come on, man.
You're in an agreement to go along with the rules that the NCAA comes up with.
I would lie to them. I also don't think it's a big deal. But then I get the NCAA side where it's like, well, look at these little damn rules. You broke it. Yeah, that was kind of a good point there. And stupid ass, you guys agree to this stuff and you gave us power where it's illegal to lie to the NCAA investigator. Like, yeah, it's a total process crime. I don't know. I've never heard Harbaugh tell a clear-cut answer on anything. I have no idea what's going on. I just know this whole thing is stupid.
I think we said earlier, a couple of podcasts ago, but I would love to see the transcript of this interview because, God knows, yes, Jim Harbaugh answers questions in weird ways.
No idea what's going on.
What he said.
Yeah, and that's on easy stuff. Jim, right. How happy are you to beat Ohio State, right? You can't get a clear answer on that. Yeah. Seems pretty simple. Yeah. I'm happy. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. Listen, it ain't over. And the Broncos are done interviewing them, I guess. We'll take Schefter's word on that. But there's a bunch of other jobs. So we'll see how it all pans out. Harbaugh seems like he's answering the phone if you're an NFL team.
Yeah.
NCAA investigator, not so much. He won't take the Colts call because they'll get a 317 will come across his little. It's actually Jim Irsay.
Is it Jim Irsay or is it John Duncan from NCAA enforcement? Who is it?
Should I answer? Should I not? I'll take it. Mr. Irsay? No, this is the NCAA. You're lying.
Damn it.
Stop lying to us. Another year suspension. I honestly can't believe Jim Harbaugh gets suspended for half a year. And like Jim Harbaugh is he broke these rules. Jim Harbaugh is not one of the big cheaters in college sports. Okay. A couple reasons. One, he's too disorganized to even try it. Two, he never gets any players.
Oh, no,
he's
none.
Cheating. Right. Like the cheating that people actually care about.
He never gets any players. Wait.
He gets some, but the last 5 years, he signed like no top 10 players. And not since like Rashawn Gary. I mean, he's not winning the recruiting battles. If you're going to be like, who's cheating? And I'm not saying he is. You go, man, Kirby Smart's killing it.
Oh, yeah. No,
I mean, they're not getting recruits. He's too like disorganized to cheat. I don't believe he's running some elaborate cheating operation. Yet he's the one who might get run out of the sport.
He lied, maybe.
Also, you know what? And here's what this goes back to. The new NCAA rules that they put in place because they were so tired of the cheaters getting away with everything. Now you get strict liability. And it's like, oh, there's violations in your program. We're going to get you because we're tired of you guys getting away with all of it. And the assistant coach is taking the fall.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Many times I've tried to figure out what Jim Harbaugh is thinking, dating back to when I first started covering him at Stanford and in the Niners, and my head hurts at the end, and it's still hurting. Okay, no, NIL, the NCAA is like muscling up on this NIL stuff. Ross, what is the latest? I saw this memo where it's like basically the presumption of guilt.
Yeah,
like schools have a presumption of guilt unless you prove, like, what is this, like the Chinese government going after people?
Yeah,
presumption of guilt.
So
who agreed to these rules? The NCAA, the colleges are stupid to agree to these rules.
Well, the thing is, it was their idea. So I'll have a story later. By the time this pod's out, hopefully the story will be published about this new standard of, I guess you could call it, I think it's standard of a violation. And basically it's a lowering, the NCAA lowered the standard at which they can basically charge schools with a violation when it comes to NIL. This is NIL only. And, you know, since April or May, the administrators in college sports, the coaches in college sports, from Nick Saban to Rick George to Gene Smith, have complained publicly, right, and criticized the NCAA enforcement for not enforcing enough of NIL, not penalizing people, not investigating them enough. You know, 8 months later, we still don't have a case that has brought official allegations in penalties. And so in October, NCAA membership got together and said, you know, we got to start penalizing people. We got to start cracking down. In order to do it, they lowered the standard of a violation to make it where before the NCAA had to have on the record, like sourcing and evidence and documented evidence all on the record to prove someone cheated or someone, you know, committed a violation. Now, the way the new standard works, they can use circumstantial evidence. They can use media like stories. They can use just maybe a tip of some sort. So they can use anonymous information as well, from what I understand. So it lowers the standard, and it's up to the school to disprove if that allegation, tip, or anonymous sourcing is wrong. It's up to the school to produce the evidence, right? Instead of the NCAA, which is kind of reverse of what it used to be. So it is supposed to produce more violations. It's supposed to produce deeper investigations. The interesting thing about it, I think, is, you know, it took effect January 1. First off, it was passed in October, took effect January 1. And Dan, you mentioned that document that kind of emerged, and I had gotten a hold of it about a week ago. It's an old document, but it kind of outlines what's already been known about what an impermissible contact, impermissible offer is. And now it basically says if there's circumstantial evidence linking you to have done any of these things, a school's collective, a booster, anything, then you have to prove that it's you know, not a violation. So it'll be interesting to see. We dive into it a little more in the story and explain a little bit about it. We got an interview with John Duncan, the NCAA enforcement director. He kind of likens it, the analogy of a duck, right? We have a lot of obvious violations out there that we know about, right? Boosters have tweeted stuff. They've said stuff on the record, and it's like, well, that's an obvious violation. Why aren't they being penalized? Why aren't they having a notice of allegations? And it's because you got to get more on the record, I guess, stuff, the NCAA says, and now they don't have to. So as John Duncan says, it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck. Now we can say, hey, it's a duck. And so we'll see where that leads.
I think, once again, this is the NCAA trying to stop a complete lack of common sense ability to stonewall your way out of violations, you know, that we've seen it. If the IARP did one thing, it was to expose an entire subset of people supposedly in charge of adjudicating cases who are willing to believe anything, and no matter how outlandish it is. And so the NCAA is like, look, if we if there's enough circumstance and smoke here that says this is a violation, we're pretty sure it is. So it's on you guys. And to Ross's point, there's been plenty of people, boosters and otherwise, who have left a cyber paper trail, so to speak, on social media or elsewhere of, hey, we just got this guy this deal. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think it makes sense for the NCAA to want to try to, A, expedite the process here, and B, use people's own words against
him. So this isn't quite the same analogy, but with the Michigan thing, it's like, I think these schools, they panicked over this whole NIL thing. They believed that the world was ending. And they're saying, please give us more rules, which I've been mocking all along. Please regulate. Please pass stricter laws. Please presume my guilt. And it's going to bust them all. They're all going to regret it. Because they all sat there and said, it's the boogeyman that's out there doing this. And they're going to find out it's them. I don't know why anyone would want to give the NCAA a system where you're presumed guilty. Do they really think that they're not all guilty a little bit?
I mean,
like, it's all gray hats, man. This is crazy. Good luck with it. Not my rules, but I mean, there's going to be a lot of schools busted if this thing goes along as it's laid out. You're going to be sitting there going, great, now we're in trouble because these NIL collective guys aren't going to cooperate.
I think that's part of the issue here. It's like, we're never going to get these folks to cooperate, so we're just going to take their words that they're putting out there and say, well, here's the charge.
Yeah, and now you're in trouble for somebody else's actions that you may or may not I mean, like, I don't think anybody thinks any of these things through. I don't know. Good luck to your schools, but just creating a system where you're just guilty doesn't seem like a good idea to me. I mean, what is going to happen if you're one of these schools? You're just going to get in big trouble because some collective is out there. You know, let's say they have a thing called wife lawlet. You know, like something like that.
Yeah, just theoretical.
Theoretically.
Just three, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Just three, and they're happening to do contracts, like, are now your whole athletic department's absolutely busted? You survived Nevin Shapiro, but not this?
I think the answer to your question is yes. The question is what happens? Like, what are the penalties? And I think the penalties are not anything crazy. In fact, I wonder if any of the penalties will be really impactful. You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's reality, because it's going to be like financial fines on the school, probably, or a disassociation from the booster who allegedly violated rules. So, I don't know if that's going to really scare the whole NIL space into stopping the violation of rules, like, yeah, a penalty. I don't know if a financial penalty is going to do it.
That's a good point that, you know, like the NCAA is pretty much out of the business of postseason bans, it seems like. So, and that's always been the big, you know, the big hammer. And you take the big hammer out of their hands, does it really matter what the little hammers do?
All right. Well, who the hell knows? Interesting times. Don't ever agree to more rules. My advice to everybody.
And lie a lot. That's Nan's other advice.
See, a freaking American way. Lie, cheat, and get drunk off your ass in Dallas till 6 in the morning. That's how you win. That's how you win in this country.
It's a good podcast, right, for the youth of America.
Final story. Sunday night. The Empire State Building. We've heard of the Empire State Building. Everyone familiar with it? It's kind of famous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there in Manhattan. New York City landmark. Most iconic buildings. Probably the most iconic in New York. Either that or the Statue of Liberty. So it's had this tradition of, I think somebody must be paying them like to market this stuff, or I don't know what, but like sometimes they'll light up for different things that are going on in the country, including like college sports occasionally or something. I don't know. And I always think it's funny, like, they lit up for whatever, the winner of this, the, you know, championship. Like anyone in New York wandering by, like look at that and go, oh, it's purple. Northwestern must have done something. No, like no one knows what they're talking about anyway. But anyway, they light up the building. So they light up on Sunday night to honor the Philadelphia Eagles winning the NFC championship. The Philadelphia Eagles are like the divisional arch rival of the New York Giants. And Philadelphia and New York don't like each other in any sport.
Mm-hmm. They don't like each other in life.
Philadelphia, life, New York, yeah. About the only thing I could imagine worse is if they did a Red Sox one, but I don't know. I have no idea what the hell the Empire State Building was thinking. I find the whole thing comical. I was texting with Mike Vaccaro, the great New York Post columnist. I'm like, you have to rip a building. Do you ever think you'd rip a building? The New York Post rips the Empire State Building. I mean, this is a New York story if there ever was one.
That is the easiest 500-word New York Post column ever.
Yeah. What the hell's the Empire State Building thinking? It's a building. I don't know. Like,
well, also,
anyway, they light
this
up.
This is the college angle, right? This is like Tuscaloosa City Hall raising the Auburn flag, the Auburn logo, when the Tigers win a semifinal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of those bets where they're like, I'll give you we'll send you some of our world-class pork products. And, you know, we have the best cinnamon roll over here in South Haven. And, right, some governor bet. But so I'm wondering what would be the most, like, what would cause the most anger in college sports if you did? Maybe it is Tuscaloosa City Hall. I wasn't thinking in-state, but I thought about, like, Memorial Tower in Baton Rouge, like the only tall building in Baton Rouge is that tower. Like you light that thing up crimson.
Yeah.
For the Tide.
Yeah.
I think they tear it down. I think Memorial Tower no longer stands.
Yeah. I think so too. That probably would come crumbling down. Yes. And then get thrown into the Mississippi River, the bits and pieces.
I mean, in Ohio State, Pat, you were at the game. Yeah. Like they all over campus, they tape over the M on like signs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one I was thinking of. Like you know, like if you had you know erected a big Michigan State congratulations or Michigan congratulations sign at Ohio State, that would be the one. To be like,
yeah, the Ohio State Capitol in blue and maize and blue.
Yeah, it'd like be a they guaranteed riot.
Right. It's like mid-campus parking garage, and they cross out the M. It's insulting. Although they do have blue from Michigan in the Ohio Stadium, in that little dome kind of part, because they won first game or something. Like there was some kind of bet. But I don't think – I mean, I think there was anger in New York, but I think there was more confusion. And also, King Kong couldn't take down the Empire State Building, so I don't even know if the – all of New York could storm the building, but I don't think this would go over well.
No, I mean, that's astonishing. Like, wow, how much did they get paid to do that or whatever? The other one be like that, the tower at University of Texas where they light it up orange. If you put that in Sooner red all of a sudden, or even worse, maybe Aggie red.
I think they'd even be angrier at the Aggies.
Yeah.
They're going to play again.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
This is good. We are. It's one of the rare times we're getting a rivalry back.
Right. Yeah. Usually college sports is ruining rivalries. But and the first game will be in College Station, as Ross Bjork made sure to tell everyone.
Really? How do they know that?
I think that was part of the acquiescence
probably,
deal.
Like, yeah, it was probably, that's right. Part of the compromise.
Oh, you like shook down the SEC for first home game?
Yeah. Like, okay, we'll welcome them with open arms, but the first game is at Kyle Field or we send the fake army after the SEC.
I see you, Ross. Good, Ross Bjork. Good job. Good job right there. Get a little something. Get a little scratch for your program. Yeah, all right. Well, to all the buildings that are listening to the pod, we know a lot of buildings listen. Don't be the Empire State Building. You risk your thing. I just, this would be a bad idea. I do remember we liked that Minnesota D3 rivalry. The two schools were in the same little town and they spun the eagle around in the center of the town. Right. And we thought that would be good for like in Montgomery or something like that for Auburn, Alabama, like some kind of, but that's still in state. There'd be no excuses out of state.
Right. No, none.
If the Jets won the AFC Championship and they lit it up green, the Giants fans couldn't complain in New York.
Right.
Because they still wanted, even if it was the Buffalo Bills, you couldn't really complain. But
right,
this is just inexcusable behavior.
That's unbelievable. Really is.
Put the NCAA probation for the Empire State Building. Should be more trouble than Harbaugh. All right, that's got to be our pod. We're almost
done. Yeah,
there you go.
It's well, long enough.
One other playoff note pertaining to colleges, though. Brock Purdy injury. There has been some speculation he wasn't getting enough Ames tap water after leaving Iowa State.
Ah, did they rub some Ames tap water on him to get him back in the game?
Yeah, they needed.
That was the
they
mistake.
They needed a vial of tap water to sprinkle on him.
The holy water.
Yes.
Failure by the San Francisco 49er training staff to understand the power of Ames tap water. And had they put Keokuk water on him, the real champion of Iowa water, he would have turned into Patrick Mahomes.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Yeah. Big mistake
there. Hooray for Ames. Too bad for Brock Purdy.
It's a big deal for Ames. It's a big deal. Didn't happen. We'll see. Brock Purdy. Looking forward to an entire offseason of ESPN talking about whether Brock Purdy or Jimmy Garoppolo
or Trey Lance.
Or Trey Lance. That's going to be fun. Jeez. Get the season here. Stephen A. weighs in. Who should play? All right. That's it. That's our show. Keep subscribing, and we'll be back later this week with more. We will talk to you later.